Kieran, good morning.
Morning, how are you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning. Now, before we get into the proposed changes, could you give us perhaps a little bit of an overview of how the current laws actually do protect journalists and whistleblowers?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say they do offer much protection. Australia's current official secrecy laws are very dated. They go back to 1914, when World War One broke out. Suddenly the government thought, oh, we better introduce some laws so we can deal with anyone threatening our national interest at a time of war. And over the following century, not much has changed. They're very broadly worded and fairly ambiguous. But thankfully, they haven't been relied upon that often, and the imprisonment penalties are fairly low. In 2009-2010, the government asked the Australian Law Reform Commission to look into these laws and, you know, how we can best balance these competing interests of transparency and government accountability on one hand, and, you know, a very reasonable desire from the government in certain cases to protect official information. And it delivered a quite lengthy report that said, okay, we need to modify these laws and here are our recommendations. Nothing was done for the last 6 or 7 years. And then in December, mere hours after marriage equality had become law in Parliament, and while everyone else was celebrating and looking the other way, the government introduced this legislation as part of a larger bill that's aimed at espionage and foreign interference.
So what would the proposed changes actually entail for journalists and whistleblowers and the like?
Sure. So the laws threaten to penalise for anywhere between 5 and 20 years whistleblowers or journalists or really anyone who deals with, communicates, holds official information that is not being released to them via an authorised channel and that can or could or does harm Australia's national interests. The problem with the legislation as it's currently drafted in this bill form is that it's very broad, it's expansive, all of the definitions are applicable to a large number of people, and then the tests for seeing whether you've breached this offence are also very broad. And given the interest that everyone in a democratic society has in government accountability and transparency, that's very worrying. And particularly for public servant whistleblowers, there's a scheme for the government and for public servants at the moment to blow the whistle on corrupt conduct, an authorised scheme that gives them protection. But that scheme has been criticised heavily and is currently being looked at for reform. So in a way, the government's kind of putting the cart before the horse. It's saying it's cracking down on unauthorised public servant whistleblowers before it's fixed a channel for them to disclose corrupt conduct in an authorised manner. And I think that should worry us because we just saw news this week that there's been a considerable increase in the number of public servants reporting corruption and maladministration within government.
Well, it is kind of concerning when we hear words like broad and words like, the national interest being quoted as, a reason to do really just about anything in this day and age. So you're saying basically with the broadness of these modifications, they could be applied fairly unilaterally. They could basically be applied in situations where the government decides to apply them and ignored in others because they are quite vague still.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a huge risk. And, we see it's quite commonplace in the media for public servants, ministerial advisors, staffers to leak information to favoured journalists. We see that in the paper every day. And yet, I don't think that's what the government's targeting here. They're targeting whistleblowers and journalists who go after them for, when the government has made mistakes and when it wants to avoid embarrassment. And it's interesting, in the explanatory memorandum to the bill, there's an example which, almost word for word is what happened to Edward Snowden, the American whistleblower, who revealed wide-scale incursions on privacy across the world. And there's an offence that is specifically designed at preventing that sort of whistleblowing. Now, the laws do have a protection for journalists, not for anyone else, just for journalists when it's in the public interest and it's fair and reasonable reporting. But even then, that's been criticised as not being sufficient. And for my article, which went online yesterday, I spoke to the head of the Journalist Union and to the Director of Legal Services at the Guardian head office over in London, both of whom criticised this defence as being insufficient.
And just finally, obviously, you mentioned there the way that this was released, these proposed changes were released, was very strategic, released in the wake of the marriage equality debate, which obviously took a great deal of media attention to be covered, and has very quietly gone, been discussed over Christmas, and yet still we don't see the media concentrating on this very much. Now, obviously, a big part of that, as I mentioned there, is because it was quite strategic in the release. But why do you think we haven't seen a great deal of attention turned towards these proposed changes?
Well, I think it's very concerning there hasn't been. I think perhaps there's a little bit of fatigue. We're seeing these sort of worrying actions from the government on a more and more regular basis, perhaps beginning with compulsory metadata retention, then restrictions on what medical staff can say based on what they're seeing in places like Nauru and Manus Island, and so on and so forth. So I guess one answer could be that there's fatigue in the general public. They're just saying more and more, and they can't sort of dig through that and see how worrying this really is. One is that, as you say, whether or not it was strategic or not, that was the last sitting period in Parliament before Christmas, so perhaps it was just they needed to get this in. But, it does seem a bit worrying that it was introduced late in the evening on the last day. Now, thankfully, we'll have more of a chance to scrutinise this when Parliament returns in February, and there's a committee that's currently taking submissions. So, if any of your listeners feel strongly on this, they could make a submission to the committee that's currently reviewing this legislation. But I think we definitely need to see more media discussion and public discourse on what is a really concerning change to Australia's official secrecy laws.
Kieran, really appreciate your time. Really appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Thanks for having me.